Acharya Ashutosh Ashutoshi Shrimati Sivan Grace Stacy Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Raja Granta Shrima Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samvita Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Gaura Pramanandi All Glories to the Assembled Devotees All Glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Gantmirandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhumbhya Revacha Patita nam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya O Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 5th Chapter, Text 18 Gurur Nasasyat Swajano Nasasyat Pita Nasasyat Danani Nasasyat Daivam natatsyan napatis chasasyan Namo chayedya samupetam ritrum Gurur nasasyat sojano nasasyat Pita nasasyat danani nasasyat Daivam natatsyan apatishcha sasyan Namo chayed ya samupetam rityum
Guru nasya swayo nasya
mothers. Guru, a spiritual master. Na, not. Sah, he. Syat, should become. Svajana, a relative. Na, not. Sah, such a person. Syat, should become. Pita, a father. Na, not. Sah, he. Syat, should become. Janani, a mother. Na, not. Sa, she. Syat, should become. Daivam, the worshipable deity. Na, not. Tat, that. Syat, should become. Na, not. Pati, a husband. Cha, also. Sah, he. Syat, should become. Na, not. Mochayat, can deliver. Ya, who. Samupetamrityum, one who is on the path of the of repeated birth and death. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, one who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. Purport. There are many spiritual masters, but Rishabhdev advises that one should not become a spiritual master if he is unable to save his disciple from the path of birth and death. Unless one is a pure devotee of Krishna, he cannot save himself from the path of repeated birth and death. Taktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti surjuna. One can stop birth and death only by returning home back to Godhead. However, who can go back to Godhead unless he understands the Supreme Lord in truth? Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvataha. We have many instances in history illustrating Rishabhdev's instructions. Shukracharya was rejected by Bali Maharaj due to his inability to save Bali Maharaj from the path of repeated birth and death. Shukracharya was not a pure devotee. He was more or less inclined to fruitive activity, and he objected when Bali Maharaj promised to give everything to Lord Vishnu. Actually, one is supposed to give everything to the Lord because everything belongs to the Lord. Consequently, the Supreme Lord advises in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 27, Yat karoshi yadashnasi yaj dohoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi konteya tat kurushwa mad arpanam. Quote, O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. End quote. This is bhakti. Unless one is devoted, he cannot give everything to the Supreme Lord. Unless one can do so, he cannot become a spiritual master, husband, father, or mother. Similarly, the wives of the brahmanas who were performing sacrifices gave up their relatives just to satisfy Krishna. This is an example of a wife rejecting a husband who cannot deliver her from the impending dangers of birth and death. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj rejected his father, and Bharat Maharaj rejected his mother, Janani Nasasyat. The word Daivam indicates a demigod or one who accepts worship from a dependent. Ordinarily, the spiritual master, husband, father, mother, or superior relative accepts worship from an inferior relative. But here Rishabde forbids this. First, the father, spiritual master, or husband must be able to release the dependent from repeated birth and death. If he cannot do this, he plunges himself into the ocean of reproachment for his unlawful activities. Everyone should be very responsible and take charge of his dependents, just as a spiritual master takes charge of his disciple, or a father takes charge of his son. All these responsibilities cannot be discharged honestly unless one can save the dependent from repeated birth and death. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, Hare Krishna. So I repeat the translation. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying the same statement in another way, that if it is ascertained that a superior is not able to deliver his dependent, then such a so-called superior is fit to be rejected. So if the spiritual master is not able to deliver the disciple, then the disciple can reject the spiritual master. The example is given of Bali Maharaj rejecting Shukracharya. Similarly, if the mother is not able to give proper direction to the child, then the mother is fit to be rejected. The example given is Bharata Maharaj, who rejected Kaikeyi. Not this Bharata from Ramayana. He rejected his mother, Kaikeyi. If the husband is not able to deliver the wife and children and so on with proper direction from repeated birth and death, then such a so-called husband is fit to be rejected. The example is given of the wives of the Yajnik Brahmanas. Similarly, if the father cannot deliver, then he's fit to be rejected. The example is given of Prahlad Maharaj, etc. Or anyone who accepts worship. Generally, a superior receives worship from an inferior. But if he is not able to do his duty of delivering the dependent from the path of birth and death by educating him and elevating his consciousness, then such a superior is fit to be rejected. Samupetamritum means everyone is on the path of birth and death. So this is the real problem facing the living entity, that we're repeatedly taking birth and repeatedly dying. And why do we do this? Even though this is not a very pleasurable experience, repeated birth and death. Experiencing repeated birth and death is not a very happy experience. But why do we continue to do so? What is the reason for repeated birth and death? Lusty desires, huh? Bodily consciousness, yeah. Desire something other than Krishna. Yes. What is our desire? Sex life. Sum it up, huh? Sense gratification. There's a verse, Prahlad Maharaj, Matirna Krishne Paratas Totova Mito Abhipadyeta Griha Vritadam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Puna Punash Charvita Charvananam. So Prahlad Maharaj explains that no one can attain Krishna or be freed from repeated birth and death, neither by his own efforts, neither by the efforts of others, or by joint conferences. Prabhupada uses that language, by joint conferences. If he is Grihavratanam, Grihavratana means his vrata, his determination, is to somehow or other make this material world a nice place for him to live. Griha, householder life. To make the material world a nice place for existing. So for such a person who's so determined, then Adanta Gobir, his senses are always agitated by lusty desires, we were hearing yesterday. And on account of being so agitated, his consciousness is dragged down to hell. Vishatam Tamishram. Hellish existence, practically speaking, his consciousness becomes fit for residing in hell, or that means any place in the material world. Puna punash charvita charvananam. And so therefore he's engaged in chewing that which has already been chewed. This is the definition of insanity we were hearing yesterday. You try the same thing out in the same way and expect a different result. Chewing the chew. So on account of their strong desire, all living entities are on the path of repeated birth and death. Samupetamrityum. And it's very hard to get out of this consciousness because we've been tied down to such a consciousness with the rope of lusty desires. That's what we were hearing yesterday. So then one who accepts dependence has to be able to untie the rope. That's required. Otherwise, he should not accept dependence. It is not that this instruction is not applicable in the age of Kali. In one sense, you can say it's more applicable in the age of Kali, where our disqualifications are quite acute. And therefore, if we are going to accept such a heavy responsibility, then we should see to it that we have the qualification to do so. Otherwise, we ourselves fall down and we lead our dependents also. They also fall down. They don't become happy. They don't become elevated. We don't become elevated. Everyone becomes fallen. So who can accept a dependent? Generally, people are interested in becoming spiritual masters. There's a whole, I think, it's like a kind of like a movement within our movement about women gurus. It's becoming quite a popular movement. And everyone wants to be spiritual master because it seems very, very cool and nice. You walk into the room, everyone offers obeisances. That feels nice. Generally, devotees don't offer obeisances. So just like Mahaprabhu took sannyasa, everyone would offer obeisances so they'll be elevated. We also want to be guru. So at least everyone will understand my position, offer me obeisances, right? So someone becomes guru and, you know, the Mahaprasadam plate is delivered to my room without me having to endeavor or fight for it. Someone is thinking like this. Generally, it is the case when we first joined. The B sannyasi was so cool. You get the stick. That was cool. And you get to wear your dhoti in a different way. That was nice. Someone gets the idea like this. I want to become guru. But he doesn't realize that he has to deliver his dependents from repeated birth and death. You know, and I want followers, especially Vyasa Puja time would be so nice, you know. If I had at least 200 followers and I get to hear the homages and, you know, I won't get puffed up. This is for their purification. And you might take that. You might, you know, think it's funny. But actually, it's a very dangerous situation. If you don't deliver your dependent from repeated birth and death, then Srila Prabhupada says, to take such a position, he plunges himself into an ocean of reproachment for his unlawful activities. They're unlawful. If you accept the just so, in other words, one should not accept dependents like cats and dogs, and without taking responsibility. Just like cats and dogs, they have children. But they don't take responsibility for their children, so at least after a very short time period. They neglect their children. So you should not accept dependents like cats and dogs without seeing to their deliverance. So you get, you know, a lot of followers accumulated, but you don't see to it or make arrangement for their upliftment and consciousness. Then you're accepting a dependent like cat and dog. It becomes unlawful activity, seeing that they're not actually improving. In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his essay on Pancha Samskara, he criticizes the Vaishnava community's practices of today of accepting disciples, saying that the relationship is not proper because these spiritual masters initiate and then abandon the disciple, not actually seeing to it that he's, you know, developing himself progressively. Generally, traditionally, and Srila Prabhupada speaks about this a lot, especially in his initiation lectures, gurus and disciples would live together for 1 year. And then the guru would observe the disciple, or the prospective disciple for 1 year, and the disciple would observe the guru for 1 year also. And the guru would see if this person was qualified to be disciple. Like the bare minimum, he's submissive, he's inquisitive about his highest welfare, he has service attitude, before agreeing to accept that person as a dependent. And similarly, the dependent would observe the guru for 1 year to see if this is someone he could follow. Because, you know, it's not that there may be many bona fide persons, but you're not always able to follow everyone. So then the disciple would also observe for 1 year to see if this is a person he was able to follow. Of course, nowadays that particular length of time may not be possible due to the circumstances of life. Srila Prabhupada also speaks about that. But the main idea is that there is some accountability because the responsibility is very heavy. And if I accept a dependent and I'm not qualified, then I'm actually performing an unlawful activity, sinful. I'm plunged into an ocean of reproachment. Who can be guru? Kiba vipra kiba nasha shudra kene noi ye krishna tato veta se guru hoy. That person, whether he be a sannyasi, or he be a learned brahmana, or he be a shudra, he can be a guru if he knows the science of Krishna. Ye Krishna tattva veta se guru hoy. If he is Krishna tattva veta, means he knows the science of Krishna, then he can be the guru. He can be a guru. Knowing the science of Krishna doesn't mean just giving lip service to the message, but also sadhachara is there. He knows the science not only intellectually, but he gives everything to Krishna. So Prabhupada also mentions that element here. Yakuroshi yarashnashi yajdohoshi dadasi yat yatapasyasi konteya takurusha mararpanam. If he knows the science of Krishna, he is giving everything to the service of Krishna. Prana artha diyavacha. He gives his life to Krishna, his wealth to Krishna, his intelligence is used for Krishna's service, his words only glorify Krishna. Such a person is called as guru. And then such a guru is fit to deliver his dependent due to being fully Krishna conscious. Otherwise, he's not able to do that particular service. So one has to see to it that he becomes Krishna Tattva-Veta. He should become guru. That is required. Mahaprabhu has told everyone, he's instructed everyone to become guru. What is that verse? Yare deke tarakaha Krishna upadesh. Amara gaya guruhan tare desh. Whoever you see, whoever you meet, then you should be able to give them the Krishna upadesh. That means the message of Bhagavad Gita. You should be able to do that particular service. So whoever you see, whether it be your disciples or be your children, you see them, whoever you see. These are people you see daily. You know, whether you want to or not, you have to see them. You see your wife or generally not husband, you see your wife. You see family members, then you should be able to give them the message of Krishna. And Maharu said, by my order, in this way you become guru. So guru is one who knows the science of Krishna. He has knowledge, and that knowledge is exhibited by his giving everything to the services of Krishna. Then a person can accept a dependent. Otherwise, if he accepts dependent without being so knowledgeable, without being so dedicated, he accepts a dependent, then he commits unlawful activity. Then you are like a blind man, and you're taking your blind followers into a ditch. Tepisha tantram urudhamni bada means everyone remains bound up in the cycle of repeated birth and death. So it's this is a very heavy and cautionary verse. One should not become father. Generally, it's an attractive notion to have kids, isn't it? I mean, not if you're a brahmachari. You know, at least a little fanatical like myself, then children are not too attractive. I generally tend to not like kids in a specific sense. In an overall sense, they're real cute and everything. But after 2-3 minutes, then I'm like, all right, you know, get out of here. So the notion of kids are very cute. Therefore, you know, if you start playing with kids, naturally you get a desire to have a kid, you know. You pull on their cheeks and you speak all types of foolish things. Ooh, da, 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 you know, even the baby is looking at you like, what are you saying? You think it's very cute, but you benefit the kid, nor do you benefit yourself. You just look foolish. You want to have a kid. Everyone is interested in having kids. Not so much these days, but people have children. But what is the criteria for having a child? It's not just, I want a kid. Otherwise, the cats and dogs are doing that also. Of course, I don't know if they want kids or not, but it's a natural byproduct. It's not that I just want a kid, therefore I have a kid. What is the responsibility that I'm taking up by having a kid? Someone wants to get married, right? Generally, you hear this all the time. I have sex desire, therefore I think the Grihastha ashram is for me. As if that's the only criteria for determining moving to that ashram. I have sex desire. Everyone has sex desire. So if that's the only criteria, everyone should get married then. And then if that's the only criteria, well, what about the responsibility? Are you fully dedicated to Krishna? Do you know the science of Krishna to be accepting a wife like that? And if the answer is no, then if you accept a wife, then that relationship will bring you down into a miserable condition. You will actually glide down to, you'll be stuck, trapped in samsara. Father, husband, what are the other examples? Guru, relative, demigod. So there might not be any demigods in the room. But Prabhupada is using that word to say that anyone who accepts worship from a subordinate, then that's like daiva, the daiva position. Then if he accepts worship, yuga, you know, it's a gradual process. And then Kalki Avatar will descend and we'll tell them, my dear Lord, it's a gradual process, right? And then Kalki Avatar will say, well, let me speed it up for you, you know. I have one particular mission here, and, you know, it pulls out the sword and chops off your head, right? It's not the devotional service meant to be so gradual that we can hardly tell if the living entity is moving at all. Not that gradual. And also, we have to be concerned that these various positions are kind of forced upon the living entity by the movement of time. It is not that, okay, I won't accept any responsibility until I'm 100% ready. And I'm taking my time to get 100% ready. I'm taking my time to understand the Bhagavad Gita. I'm taking my time to, you know, dedicate my energies to Christian service because it's a gradual process. So I'm not taking it so seriously to come to the right standard for accepting that responsibility. But we have to also understand that the flow of time is forcing our hand. It is not that we can just sit around and wait for ourselves to get the necessary ID card before we accept responsibility. Responsibility will be pushed into our lap, so to speak. And then if we're not qualified, then we find ourselves in a very dangerous position. So like Srila Prabhupada's disciples, for example, it's not like they could take all the time in the world to get their act together and then accept responsibility of pushing on the Krishna consciousness movement. After Srila Prabhupada left the body, it wasn't like they could say, you know, I'm not ready, and therefore I'm going to just spend endless amounts of time getting ready. No, time factor is forcing the hand. So therefore, we should understand that we are under the tight grip of time, and therefore we don't have so much of time for taking responsibility for our life or taking our responsibility seriously. We have to know that we should becoming more fixed in the knowledge of Krishna, more dedicated in our services to Krishna. Otherwise, time will force us into these positions of responsibility. And if we're not able to come up to the standard, then we are actually performing unlawful activity. We become implicated in sinful activity, and so to speak. Although that may not be our intention, but that is the nature of the material world. Therefore, human form of life is a life of heavy responsibility. Srila Prabhupada has always told this thing. And it's not that because I should choose to be responsible. That's a good idea. But responsibility will be forced upon you. It is actually forced upon a living entity. So it is so important that we actually understand the seriousness of our position in the material world. And how, in one sense, you can say it's an encouragement to get serious. That time factor is pushing us along like this. And one way is it's an encouragement to let me take my life very seriously because I don't have time to waste. And if I waste time, even a moment of time, then I can be implicated in sinful activity that brings me down. And in other sense, if we don't see the importance of becoming more serious, then certainly we glide down conscious-wise. And those who follow us, they also glide down. So we might not care about ourselves. Sometimes we say, well, it's my spiritual life, right? I can take it as serious as I want to take it, isn't it? Sometimes we tend to have this mentality. But then what about all those who will be depending upon us in the future by force of circumstance? Sometimes you don't even want people to... sometimes you may have this experience where you were just having a conversation with someone. You know, it was like a very casual conversation. You said something, and they took it very seriously. And then you were like, oh, no, I didn't mean for you to take it in that way. And then they do something foolish or they become hurt or whatever. Sometimes you may have experience in that way. So this is how life is moving us along. That even if we don't want the responsibility, it's thrown into our lap. And we have very little time to get it together. So this is the idea here. It's a very simple point. It's a very heavy point. And we should not think that it's not applicable to us. This is back in Rishabhdev's days in Satyuga where these things were really... Everyone is practically useless in Kali Yuga, so it doesn't really apply to me. It certainly applies to us. Prabhupada says these teachings of Rishabhdev are more important now than even when he spoke these teachings then, where people were actually qualified. So human form of life is a life of heavy responsibility. We should become guru or a superior by learning the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, especially Bhagavad Gita, and by exhibiting our understanding of that knowledge by fully dedicating all of our energies to the service of Krishna. By such knowledge and dedication, one becomes fit to accept dependent. And that way you do good to yourself, you do good to your followers. That's a basic idea. Are there any other points anyone wants to bring up? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. So Srila Prabhupada gives the example for Janani as Kaikeyi, as you mentioned. And her fault particularly, as we know from the story, is that she rejected Ramachandra as the superior, basically, or as the person who would be the king. And then on the other side, we also see like Dhruva Maharaj's mother, who was just like a very simple lady, but she told him to worship Vishnu to get the result of his activities. So I have also heard this elsewhere. It's just a deeper discussion of the same point. Is the personality, like these two people I just mentioned, they're not capable one way or the other of like being the spiritual master for their son or something like that. But because they have an option to either follow the proper system or not, then they can show the right example. And in that way they become, so to speak, like proper leader or improper leader. So I've also heard it explained that one may not even be very advanced in Krishna consciousness or even understand very well things, but if he's situated properly in his, as you put it, kind of pure devotional determination, then he'll accept a spiritual master, like he'll encourage his disciples or his subordinates, whatever students or children to accept a proper spiritual master, etc. Like, he'll show by his example what the right path is, although he may say, I'm not qualified to give you proper understanding. So is that also your understanding?
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. Either they themselves take, or they have to make arrangement, or let's say suggestion, that I'm not able to do that service to, I'm not able to accept the responsibility to the degree of delivering you from the path of birth and death. But they may recommend, go to such and such. For example, there are many examples like this, of course. Hridoy Chaitanya sending Duki Krishna Das for the training from Jiva Goswami. Also, others were also sent to Jiva Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya. I don't mean to necessarily indicate that Hridoy Chaitanya himself wasn't qualified, but it is mentioned that he did send them his disciple, who later on became Shamananda, for further training in Krishna consciousness from Jiva Goswami, because Jiva Goswami was the preeminent Vaishnava Acharya of that time. For example, I'm trying to think of another example from the Bhagavatam. So anyway, the idea is that if one himself cannot perform the service, but they see that their dependents have faith in them, then they should direct them in such a way towards one who can do that type of service to that degree. He should not allow, just like Srila Prabhupada would speak about persons who their followers would start calling them God, you know, in these other types of movements. Their followers would start calling them God. And then after so much of time, he said, what can I do? They're thinking like this, so what can I do? I don't want to discourage them, you know. So I accept, yes, now I've become God for my followers. No, you cannot become God all of a sudden. You should direct their energy. If they have faith in you in that way, and you don't have that adhikar,